None of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, and Father of the crucified and risen Lord and Savior, as the shadows of the cross come across this period of time in our minds, may we turn once again to him who in the cross taught us life's deepest lessons. May we dedicate ourselves again unto him who died in order that we might live, him without whose death we should never have known the meaning of life. May we learn to express his love in our lives and attract men unto him. May we do works that he would have us do as the expression of the faith that he has imparted to us. May this worship service this morning bring honor to his name, worship to our hearts, understanding to our minds, fellowship deeper and broader and more tender with our brethren, and understanding also of all those in the wide world whom we know he loved. Grant thy blessing upon him who speaks to us. May he come to reveal the truth that thou hast vouchsafed to him, in order that we may be blessed by it. May we be a blessing to him in these hours on this campus, in ways thou knowest to use us each one and all together. According to thy wisdom, use us. In Jesus' name, amen. I think many of you would be interested to know that yesterday afternoon in our faculty meeting, we agreed to send a wire addressed to Mr. Bones McKinney. We missent it, I'm afraid, to Winston-Salem, but we thought it would be nice to let him know that the folk who now live on the old campus are for the boys who are carrying on a proper crusade from Winston-Salem. And I know we'll all be listening and looking, if possible, and deeply interested tonight. And Dr. Reed, that means that Wake Forest College is playing in the national playoffs with a good Catholic school from up north. We have three reasons to want to win. I would call the attention of the wives, especially, to the circular which was got out yesterday by the Wives Fellowship, and they are planning a series of four classes. I shall not take the time to read the details, but if the wives of the students will be listening and looking, I think they will find something of real interest for them and perhaps of real help to them. We are having a great many privileges these days of the 10th year of our operation. One of the first, and this is literally and actually true, way back, I think, in September as we looked ahead, one of the first names who came to me was the name that represented a quiet, impressive face that I have learned to know and respect during my many visits to Nashville, when the executive committee and the various representatives from all our Baptist work get together two or three or four times a year. Dr. A. Hamilton Reed is secretary of our work in Alabama and has been state secretary there for the past 16 years. Before that, he went to Howard College, from which we have many students and have some of our fine professors. He went to the Louisville Seminary, was pastor in Alabama, and then chosen state secretary. I have not heard him speak, but I would venture to say that he will speak to us from a deep sense of consecration and from a head that is well trained, discerning, practical, and helpful. It is really a privilege to me today to have on this campus and to be able to introduce Dr. A. Hamilton Reed, Secretary of the Baptist Work in Alabama.
Thank you, Dr. Staley, and friends. Certainly it is a joy to me to have this opportunity to come to this seminary. It's my first visit to Wake Forest. It's the first visit to this Southeastern Seminary, and to look in on this institution that I have come to appreciate very deeply in the years that have gone by. It's a joy to me to be here with Dr. Staley, and as I've observed him, I've come to admire him and to have great confidence in his leadership here at Southeastern. So as I come this morning, it is a special privilege of mine to be here and look in on this seminary. A few days ago, I was at Louisville and then in New Orleans, and I've been to all the seminaries now except Golden Gate. So I can say I've been to all the seminaries, even though I did my study, what little I did, at Louisville. I'm always hesitant about going on the seminary campuses and also college campuses, even though I spent 5 years as, or in the position, as they call it, vice president of Howard College. I never knew exactly what I was supposed to do, but I found myself doing many things. But on going on these campuses, centers of education, I'm always hesitant about what I might best speak of. However, a state secretary, I've discovered, is supposed to be able to talk on most any subject, anywhere, any length, to any kind of congregation. Sometimes he may do, just as my wife accuses me of doing, just going here and yonder, whamming away. Now, I'm not sure I know what she means by whamming away, but I have some idea. And that is a privilege of speaking to such a variety of congregations. So I come here this morning with gratitude in my own soul for this institution, for the contribution it's making, for the students and faculty that have come up to be in this institution from Alabama, and for those that have already returned to that state from this student body, and those that are here now, and others of you who will be yonder in Alabama in the future years. I would like to say that we have wide open doors in our state to all of our Southern Baptist seminary graduates. And so we invite you to Alabama anytime. This morning, I would not attempt in the least to come on this campus and show any sense of scholarship. I would not attempt in the least to come on this campus and attempt to speak to the faculty. Therefore, that which I shall say shall be only practical, taken from years of experience in dealing with Baptist ministers. I've been attempting to preach in the ministry for well above 40 years. It's been my privilege to mix with our ministry through these years. Hundreds and thousands of them. In Alabama, we now have more than 2,400 pastors. I don't know all of them personally, but I know the vast majority of them. I know their problems because it is a part of my responsibility to listen to them day after day and week after week, and share their successes with them, share their disappointments, share their problems with them. And in a small way, at least, to counsel with them. So I doubt if there's any man who has a greater appreciation of our Baptist ministers than I. A greater admiration for them, greater confidence in them. I believe in them with all my soul. I doubt if there is to be found in our state first a greater group of citizens than the more than 2,400 Baptist pastors in that state. I doubt if there's another group that's making a greater contribution to the life of the state than that group. Yes, a very significant group. And these to be found all across the Southland, filling vital places in the life of the people. May we then this morning take these words that I suspect have been used more than once from this rostrum. Watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. I would emphasize the thought this morning, make full proof of thy ministry. 2 Timothy 4:5. Out of these more than 40 years' experience, 20 of them more than a pastorate, 5 of them as vice president of a college, dealing with ministerial students and other students, and 16 years as a state secretary, sitting at the crossroads of our denominational life, dealing with the churches and the pastors, and the life of the denomination in that state. I have observed that not every minister is altogether happy in his ministry. I've been associated with ministers young and old, ministers who learned and unlearned, ministers who had great ability, and ministers who were limited in ability. Ministers who were very successful, and ministers who were not so successful. And in it all, I thank the Lord that the vast majority of our Baptist ministers are men who are doing the work of the ministry with a good measure of diligence. Occasionally there's a black sheep among the Baptist ministers. Out of the more than 2,400 pastors in my state, I would say there are very few black sheep. And then this is true today, that we're in an age of the young minister more than ever before. I'm vitally conscious of that because the generation of ministers that led in my younger days are all gone. Not a member of the faculty under whom I studied at Louisville or in college still lives. And not a leader among the denomination when I was a young minister is at all active. I go back to my state and I look at a great city like Birmingham. I don't know of even one pastor who is over 50 years of age. City like Montgomery, and there's only one above 50 years of age. Mobile, just one. Thus, this is age when the young ministers are leading our Baptist work, and they're leading in a marvelous way. It's been thrilling to my soul to see the marvelous progress that's being made. Every now and then I hear people say the church declining. Not so. Certainly among Alabama Baptists, and I don't think anywhere among Southern Baptists. In all the 40-odd years I've attempted to preach to the people, I've never known so many people going to church, active in the church, and interested in the work of the kingdom. And this, I think, due to the leadership of the ministry today. And as I look to the future, I look to the future with great confidence and great faith. Because of the consciousness of the leadership of the ministry in this day. I know this message must be very brief. Therefore, in the remaining just very few minutes, let me cite some things, or three things, that I've observed that make for effectiveness and success in the ministry. Whether it be a pastor, whether it be a denominational worker, otherwise, as I've observed, minister after minister, and I've seen them reach out and up, or I've seen them gradually decline. I've arrived at three conclusions. First, the minister, to be most effective in his ministry, must keep his attention focused on his mission. He must remember that he is called of God and sent on a mission. And he must ever keep that in mind. And he must ever relate his ministry day after day, week after week, year after year to his mission, and that to build the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, that to win the people to faith in the Christ, enlist them in Christian service, teach them the word of God, and ever grow them in things spiritual. That's the primary mission of the minister. As he goes to take his place out in the world and in the community life, there is always the pressure and the call for him to give attention to the community interests as a whole. And he should. But as he turns attention to the civic life and other things of the community,
Let him never forget that his first mission to that community is that of winning people to Christ and building the Lord's church. And as he builds the church, he will have a part in the building of the community, wherever it might be. Yes, let him be a citizen, active and useful. I could look back and tell you of many very fine, promising ministers. I know one now, in the heart of a city that's been very effective. But he has heard the call of the city and the call of the civic and social life, somewhat to the neglect of the call of his church and the call of the Christ for his time. That minister is facing the urgency and necessity of moving on, yet an able man. Yes, the minister must keep his attention focused on his mission constantly. I isn't to say very in just a word. It's my conviction resulting from years of observation that for a minister to be effective in his work, he must put his heart and soul into the work. Yes, let him prepare in every way possible. Let him have a full head. But if his heart's empty, his message will not be effective. The people will hear what you say, but they will see and feel your soul and bring that which you say with the vitality of soul, and the people will respond. Yes, the two go together. Dynamics of mind, dynamics of soul. To be effective in the work of the ministry, you can't minister well in the name of Christ if you don't love him. You can't minister to a people you don't love. And the minister's life must ever be overflowing in love. I've learned from years' experience that I never did much good quarreling at the people. I never did get much response out of them, but quarreling at them. I well remember when a young man, right out of the seminary, 1925, just beginning the cooperative program, the state secretary wrote me and said, "Brother Reed, you promote the cooperative program." I looked at the little church down from the good town to which I'd gone as pastor. I got a deacon to go with me, and we announced that we'd be down on a Sunday afternoon to speak on the cooperative program. I didn't know anything about it as new. I thought it did. The people knew nothing about it. I looked up the record of that church. 3 years, not a penny given to any missions. I went there and the house was full and they were standing around the walls. I spoke about the cooperative program. I quarreled at the people because they hadn't been giving anything to missions. Service was over. I didn't know anything else to do but to take a collection. That was very common in those days. We took the collection. Going down the road, the deacon that's with me turned and said, "Pastor, how'd we come out?" I knew he meant how much money did we get. I said, "Well, I reckon, all right." He said, "Well, how much did we actually get?" I said, "We got 89 cents. Then he turned to me and he said, "How much did you give?" I said, "I gave a quarter." And I said, "How much did you give?" And he said, "Why, I gave 50 cents. We added and subtracted a little bit. And he said, "Pastor, we only got 14 cents. And then that good deacon turned to me and he said, "Pastor, I'm afraid you don't make a very good cooperative program speech." Well, that was my first one. And then he said, "Pastor, I wonder if you can get money out of people or get anything much out of them by quarreling at them." He said, "You quarreled at that little group today." I've never forgotten it. I've never won people to Christ by quarreling at them. I've never enlisted them in any service by quarreling at them. And as the good deacon said, "Pastor, I believe if you had encouraged those people, you might have gotten more money." That's true in life. Yes, put heart and soul into your ministry. Love the people. First, love the Lord. I can only say the time is gone. Third observation I've made, that to be very effective and successful in the ministry, you must be zealously active. Zealously active. Not lazy. I use the word lazy. A good woman came up to me once when I used that word and said, "Pastor, don't use that word. Use the word devitalized." Well, if that's right, no preacher ought to ever be devitalized if he expects to succeed. A lazy preacher never succeeds. Often I hear people say, "Well, the pastor is being overworked." That may be true in a few cases. But I think a greater danger is underwork. Twenty years ago, I called in a town to see a pastor. 10 o'clock in the morning, I went to his church office. He wasn't there. And I went and I met the Negro janitor and I asked about the pastor and he said, "Boss, he hasn't come over yet. He lives next door." And then he said, "Boss, I don't guess he's got up yet." I said, "He must have been out late last night studying lots." And he said, "Boss, that man is such a good preacher. He doesn't have to study. He doesn't have to work." 20 years have gone by. I've seen that man move 7 times. Why? The Negro janitor said, "He's such a good preacher, he doesn't have to work." I'm afraid the people didn't agree with the janitor. Yes, zeal and effort day by day, and pure honest work, growing. Many of you be going out of the seminary in a few weeks. If you don't mind, you'll go out the biggest you'll ever be. biggest in mind, biggest in soul. If you don't mind, you begin to decline the very day you leave this campus. But going out zealously active to grow in mind and grow in usefulness day by day will mean a very, very effective ministry in the Lord's work. I come back to repeat the verse. Watch thou in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of evangelism. Make full proof of thy ministry. You and the Lord and the people working together to build his kingdom in the years ahead. We're grateful, Father, for this institution. It's thy own institution, dedicated wholly to the Lord, dedicated to train men and women that they may serve the Christ and build his kingdom. We thank thee for this president, his noble leadership, for this excellent faculty who day after day training others to go out, then every student. Father, we ask for thy blessings upon this campus as a whole, upon every individual on the campus, that he might have health of body, health of mind, and health of soul. Guide in all the future, for Christ's sake.